For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. But on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Thus far the words of today's epistle and Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Mary, Immaculate Queen, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Please be seated. My dearly beloved, as you well know, the feast of the resurrection of our Lord is the feast of feasts, the greatest feast in the church year, because we might say it is the crowning work of our Lord's life on earth. Our Lord, the Son of God, became man, was born, lived a hidden life for 30 years, and then went forth in his public life, preached the gospel, worked amazing miracles, and finally was delivered over to his enemies. And he allowed them to take him. He was tortured, treated most shamefully and cruelly, and finally put to death. But that was not the end, because our Lord himself had said that he would rise again the third day. And certainly when he said this, those who heard had no idea what he was speaking about. It was unthinkable that someone could raise himself from the dead, a dead person raise himself. Our Lord had raised dead persons, three of them, to life. And even in the Old Testament, Elias and Eliseus had raised the dead to life. But for someone to raise himself, that was unthinkable. And that is why it was and is the crowning proof of our Lord's mission, and that he is who he claimed to be, the very Son of God, equal to his Father. Several times, the Pharisees asked our Lord, "Show us a sign that you are who you claim to be." And he said, "Destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up." On another occasion, he said, "Just as Jonas was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be." So our Lord fulfilled his promise and indeed raised himself from the dead. This feast is a great feast not only because it is our Lord's triumph, but it also is our own future triumph. That is, if we persevere in carrying our cross, in living according to God's holy will, then we also shall or can look forward to a future life, a life that will be without blemish, without pain, without suffering. And we know that our bodies will rise from the dead on the last day, and that is something wonderful to think about, how our body will be new. It will be brilliant. It will have the qualities of a resurrected body, of impassibility, of brightness, agility, and spirituality. Will not suffer again. And that is a consolation when we have Our body with its aches and pains, and as we get older, things don't quite work right, to be able to look forward to a future resurrection. During this week, we have the various masses of the Easter octave. And the Gospels for this week tell of the various apparitions of our Lord to his apostles, to the holy women, to Mary Magdalene, after his resurrection. And one of the most amazing stories is narrated by St. Luke, and it took place on Easter Sunday itself. There were two disciples, not apostles, two disciples of our Lord. We know the name of one of them, Cleophas. We don't know the name of the other. They were leaving Jerusalem, and they were on a journey to a town called Emmaus. And as they were walking on this journey on Sunday, our Lord came and joined himself to them, walked up to them, but they didn't recognize him. And he said, "What are you talking about? As you walk along here, you're obviously very sad. What are you speaking about?" And they looked at him strangely and they said, "Are you a stranger to Jerusalem? Don't you know what has happened these past few days?" And he said, "What?" And they said, "How Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in word and work, was delivered to his enemies, was put to death." And they said, "And on top of all that, some women of our company scared us this morning. They came to where we were staying and said they had gone to the tomb to anoint the body, and the body wasn't there. And not only that, but they had a vision of angels. And the angels told them that he is risen from the dead. And he rebuked them. He said, 'O foolish and slow of heart to believe in all the things that have been written concerning the Son of God,'" meaning the prophecies in the Old Testament. "And he said, 'It was necessary for Christ to have suffered these things and so to enter into his glory.'" And I find those words fascinating, quite a meditation. It was necessary for Christ to have suffered these things and so to enter into his glory. And then our Lord went on to narrate to them all of the prophecies in the Old Testament and how he had fulfilled them to the letter. And finally, when they reached their destination, their eyes were opened and they recognized that their unknown guest up to that point was really our Lord himself. And so they went all the way back to Jerusalem in order to tell the apostles everything that happened. But think about those words of our Lord. It was necessary that the Son of God, that our Lord, experience all of that suffering and so enter into his glory. Now, if it was necessary for our Lord to experience that pain and that suffering in order to enter into his glory, how much more necessary is it for us who are sinners? And by suffering, by carrying our cross, by living as a good Christian, not complaining of our trials, carrying our crosses, we are earning a heavenly reward. That is the lesson that our Lord conveys, that he conveyed to these two disciples, and that he conveys to us on this glorious Easter Sunday. The importance of persevering in the faith, carrying our cross, and always looking forward to a future resurrection and to the life to come. There is a fascinating story in the Old Testament in the second book of Maccabees. And it's about seven brothers. Now, this happened about 150 years before Christ, the time of the Maccabees. And they were being, the Jewish people were being persecuted for their religion. And an effort was made by this one tyrant to force them to abandon their religion, to eat things that they were not permitted to eat by the Mosaic law and so forth. And these seven brothers were arrested and they were put to death one by one and tortured and put to death. And what is so inspiring about the story of these seven Maccabees is that they steadfastly refused to give in, refused to reject their religion, refused to worship idols, and they also, all of them, said that they had hope in the coming resurrection, that their hope was in the coming resurrection, and that the tyrant could go ahead and put them to death, but that was not going to be the end. They would rise again to a glorious, a new life. That is what Easter is all about. A reminder to us that if we persevere, living a good Christian life, carrying our crosses, we also have a future life to look forward to, and that is a life that will never end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.